Shauna Taradiaka. Hello, hello. Hello, everybody. So this is my first podcast recording that's not part of the prayer series we just did. So this is my first time just recording straight in Podomatic. Normally what I had done with all the other ones. So what happened is, God put it on my heart to start a podcast. So I got the podcast ready, but I had nothing in it. And so then I started a prayer challenge. Well, I don't really like calling it a prayer challenge because it was prayer, but it's beyond prayer as we know it, as just speaking words. It's talking about getting in that secret place and coming into union and connection with God, that heart-to-heart connection with the Father, and allowing Him to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom to us, and many, many, many other things. So that all the podcasts leading up to this point were part of that secret place challenge. It was 30 days in the secret place. And then what happened was I had some people that were not on Facebook. I started this on Facebook. They were not on there in the Facebook group to watch the videos. And I said, well, I have a podcast I'm starting and I'll just put those in there. And so then I got the recordings and I stuck them in the podcast. And that's how the podcast pretty much was birthed. The honeycomb. It's called the honeycomb because we are the bees that want to go deeper to get the nectar from the flowers. We're not satisfied with the surface pollen. We're going deep into the Word, deep into the things of God to get to that nectar, the hidden mysteries, the goodness of God that is there for us to discover. So this is a little weird right now as I'm just talking into my phone and there's no people, there's no video, but today starts our first of our monthly podcasts. I'm going to do this once a month. I'll bring a teaching, and they will be here in the podcast. I may do a Zoom here and there. But this is going to be our monthly honeycomb nectar. So today we are talking about untethering from the world and separating or dividing soul and spirit. So we're talking about untethering from the world. What is that? What is untethering from the world? What is untethering? What does it mean to untether? We need to untether. We have spent so much of our lives, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. But yet we can easily get consumed with the world and the things of the world. And we get tethered to this world. We get tethered to the things of the world. We get tethered to politics. We get tethered to churches. We get tethered to mindsets. We get tethered to religions. We get tethered to so many things that are just not even needed. Like the important things. What are the important things? The important things are the heavenly things. The important things are the things of God, the things He wants to show us, the revelation that He wants to give us. But we get so tethered to this world, to these mindsets, to these paradigms, that it caps us off and limits us from reaching into the fullness of what God has for us, into the revelations and the secrets and the mysteries in the heavenly realms that He wants to reveal to us. He wants to reveal the depths of His Word. He wants to reveal the depths of His love to us. And He does that in the secret place. He does that when we are in that place of union and heart-to-heart connection. That heart-to-heart. We talked about where we go past just verbal prayer into what they call the mental prayer. Or the prayer of quiet, the prayer of affection. It's a place, it's union. It's where our hearts become united with the heart of God. It's where God reveals His heart to us and we speak with God spirit to spirit and we connect. Our spirit and God's spirit connects and we become one with Him. We go into that place of that heart connection. It's the prayer of the heart. The prayer of the heart, as Madame Guyon called it. And That's the ultimate goal, because it's in that place where God reveals his secrets and mysteries. And he takes us deeper into the heavenly realms and the depths of his love and the depths of his word, spoken and written, and the depths of the heavenly realms that he wants to reveal to us. He wants us to have encounters. He wants us to have experiences. He wants us to encounter him. He wants us to encounter him and experience him, not just know of him. And the thing is, when we get so tethered to the things of the world and the mindsets of this world, and we view our lives and we view everything we do through the eyes of the world and through the eyes of our soul instead of through the spirit and from the places where we should be seated in the heavenly realms, if you're looking from the earth up rather than from heaven down, you do not have a right perspective, and it limits us of how deep and how far the Lord can take us into the secrets and the mysteries. It limits how much he can reveal to us and how much he can give us, how much we can handle. So 1 John 17:16. Let me grab my Bible here. 1 John 17:16. We're going to start there. I like giving scriptures because I do like tying everything into the word. Because that's where these mysteries are hidden. So 1 John. So we're going to go to the near the end of your Bible here. And see chapter 17 and verse 16. First John 7. That's not right. So it must just be John. Because first, I didn't think 1 John had that many. So let's go to John and see. I had Googled it, but I didn't actually pull it up in my Bible yet. I guess I should have. Da, da, da. First John, I'm almost there. Or John. John, not First John. And we're going to verse 16. Yeah, so it's John, I should have known this, 17 verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So Jesus here is praying for his disciples, but he's also praying for all believers. He prays for his disciples, and then he prays this, that this would be for us also, for all that would believe in him. And then he prays for all of us. So in here he's praying for us, and where did I go? Okay. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we are not of this world. We were created to not be. When we accepted Christ, when we believed, we became a new creation. The word says we're a new creation, or more literally, it says we're a new creature. You're a new species. You are not merely human anymore. You are a new creation. It doesn't say we're a patched up human or we're a repaired human. No, we are a new, brand new, completely different, right? A new creation. It didn't say a new human, a new person, or we were like new, we were made like new. It says we are a new creation. We are not of this world anymore. We are not a product of this world. You are not a product of how you were raised. You are not a product of the world's mindsets. You are not a product of the religion's mindsets. You are not a product of your experiences and the challenges and the things you've faced in life, the things you've gone through. You are a new creation, completely new. You are not of this world anymore. And so if we are not of this world, we are physically here, but we are to live from heaven down. The word says we are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places. What does that mean? That means your spirit is in the heavenly realms as well as being here. Our spirits have seats, governmental seats. You have seats in the heavenly realms. It means you have access to the realms of heaven, the realms of God, the depths of his word, the depths of his heart, the depths of his love. You have a seat there. It means you have a place. You have access. You have authority there. And so our spirits are seated, has access to these heavenly realms, but we are so tethered to the earth that we hinder our spirits from reaching the fullness of the Lord and doing what it's called to do. So we need to live from these heavenly realms down. You know, we talk about it in prayer, but it actually applies to every area of your walk, of your life. It's not just for prayer. Like, we have learned about it in the context of prayers. We don't pray from here up to heaven, but we are in the heavenly realms and we pray from our identity in Christ up there down to earth. We're above it all. And that is so true, but it applies everywhere with everything, not just prayer. As you work your job, we need to work our jobs. You need to, in your relationships with other people, in the words you say, the things you speak, the things you do, all of it, everywhere. Your relationship with your kids, with your spouse, when you're driving your car, when you're hanging out with friends, when you're reading a book, when you're watching, whatever you're doing, we need to be doing it from the heavenly realms down. We are seated in the heavenly realms. We come from the heavenly realms and we are not of this world. So we don't work. We don't act. We don't live. We don't move from the earth up, but from our seats in the heavenly realms down. We filter everything through the spirit. We filter everything through our place in heaven. So Acts 17:28. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. So let me go here to Acts. Let's see, I have a New King James Bible. I also have a Passion Translation. And I always recommend reading several translations to expand your knowledge of what the scriptures actually mean. There's several different kinds of translations. And it just really does help expand your understanding when you read several different translations. So Acts 17 verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So yes, so in him we live and we move and we have our being. So what does have our being mean? It means to exist. In him we have our existence. When we are in him, it's in him. I did a whole teaching on being in him and what does that mean. So go listen to that if you would like. But it's in him that we live and we have life, that we move, that we have our being, that we exist. We exist in him. Our identities are found in him. One translation, I can't remember the scripture now. I know I have it written down. I can find it if you want it. Just message me. But it says, we are discovering our true selves, which are hidden in God in Christ. So our true selves, our true identities, who we are, our entire being, our existence is in him. So should we not live and move and filter everything through that, those heavenly realities, that place in him? He is our source. He is everything we need. We live from the in him. We need to live from the in. Live from the in, being in him, and we live from that place. That is where we discover our identity. That is where we discover who we truly were created to be. That is where we see ourselves the way the Lord sees us. And that is where we discover ourselves, our true selves, our true being. We have our being and live from that place. We move from that place. We act from that place. We think from that place. When you are in him, you are in that place in the Lord. Then you see things through his eyes. You hear things through his ears. Your understanding comes from him. The way you view your circumstances, the way you view your life changes. And starts lining up with heaven and with God's perfect will for you, because you start seeing your true self in him. He is your source. You have your being in him. So if we live through him, let's see, it says 1 John 4:9. Is that 1 John or John? I just got happy with the first, I guess, and just started writing first before everything. Let's go to 1 John. Oops, is there even a 4? It might just be John again. No, there is a 4. Okay, 1 John 4:9. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. So, that we might live through him. He sent his Son into the world that we might live through him, because it's in him that we live, that we move, that we have our being. So this says we live through him. So if we are in him, and we live and we act and we move and we do everything from that place, from that mindset, from that perspective, then we are living through him, because we go in him and to go out into the world. So it's through him. You come into him and then go out into the world. So it's through him. He is the door. He is the gates. And we go in and out and in and out. Jesus said he was the door, and we would go in and we would go out through him. We live through him because it's in him. We live and move and have our being, have our existence. So we exist in him, and then we go out into the world to be him, to reflect him, to act like him, to show the world him. So we live through him to reflect him. In him we live and move and exist. In him we have our existence, our true existence. The truth of who you are is found in Christ, in the Lord, in that secret place, in the presence of God. And this, you have to be in him to live through him. Because we live in him, we can live through him. We must untether from this world. We must untether from this world. We are too tethered to this world and the things of the world. See, we have filtered everything we know through the eyes of the world. We've let the world and the society that we're growing up in and this culture to shape our thoughts and to shape our views, how we view things, how we see things. I mean, babies in those first years of life. They always say the first 5 years are so important. Those are the developmental years. Those are the years, you know, I know just in the secular world and just the regular old world, when I was having kids and I would read the parenting magazines and all this stuff, right? And there was a lot of stuff they would talk about, you know, like the doing things a certain way, disciplining in a certain way, treating your kids a certain way, because that's how they're going to learn to trust people. That's how they learn to trust the world around them. You know, you keep things from them. You be careful who they're around and who talks to them and how they treat them, because that is how they're going to develop their understanding of how to be treated and how to treat others, and develop their trust or distrust of the people around them and the world around them. You know, and whether they have a good connection or a negative connection with nature, with plants, with animals, with people, with relationships. Those are the developmental years, because their experiences as babies are going to develop their view of the world and their view of relationships. You know, and it's been preached many, many times that even people that had maybe a harsh father or a non-existent father, their relationship with your father will affect your relationship with God, because you have developed your view and your understanding of what a father is through your own father as a child. And so we become tethered to these mindsets and these views and these images and these pictures and these understandings that the world has shaped within us. And what God wants to do, because he wants to reveal the mysteries to us, he wants to reveal those deep things, he wants us to walk into the fullness of his love and of his presence and of the mysteries of this, the, of heaven, of the depths of his word, the depths of his love, the depths of who he is. He wants us to experience him so much, but he has to help us become untethered from the things of the world and the mindsets of this world and these concepts that we have developed based on our experiences and the world around us. We have allowed the world and our experiences, our human experiences, our human existence to dictate what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what isn't. It has molded and developed these mindsets in us that God is now wanting to break us free from. He wants to break us free from it. So where am I? So we live through him. So we need to untether from the world. Untethering. How do you untether? What does that mean? It means, and that's what you do in the secret place. When we go in that secret place and you get still, be still and know that I am God. And those that wait upon the Lord will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not faint, grow not grow weary. You know, that scripture. Those that wait on the Lord, that word wait means to entangle into or to entwine, to get knotted up, like a rope getting knotted. You entangle into the Lord. It's those that entangle, that come into union with him, that connect and entangle up into the Lord, that will get strength, that will renew their strength. So we entangle into the Lord, but that's untethering. You rest your thoughts. Untethering is resting your thoughts and having a receptivity for infusion. You have to be open to allowing the Lord to impart things into you, for allowing the Lord in those places, in that secret place with him, where you rest your thoughts, you focus your gaze on the Lord, and you just open up to whatever he has for you. And we have a hard time opening up to him and receiving all that he has, because a lot of times, all that he has for us and that he may speak to you or want you to experience may not always make sense to our human mind. And it doesn't have to. See, our human minds, that's connected with our soul. Our soul wants to understand. Our soul wants to make sense of things. Our soul wants to be in control and protect us, right? Our soul wants to know what's going on. But God is a spirit, and he speaks spirit to our spirit. So it's spirit to spirit, and it's our spirit that he's drawing deeper in the secret place. It's our spirit that he's wooing in. It's our spirit that he's connecting with. It's our spirit that he's pouring that knowledge and that wisdom and that love and that understanding into in the secret place. And the revelation, it's not our human brains. It's not our soul. God is feeding our spirit. He's renewing our spirit. He's infusing who he is and his knowledge and his revelation into our spirits. And we need to allow our spirits to go where God wants it to go and to lead. We are a spirit, a soul, and a body. And so many times we let our souls govern our Trinity, the three that we are, body, soul, and spirit. And it's not supposed to be that way. We have it backwards. So we untether our thoughts, we renew our minds, and we think on things above. When you're in that secret place with God, your mind is renewed. Our mind is connected to our soul, but our mind is renewed because when we allow our spirits to receive what God has for us, out of a man's heart, is what flows out, right? Out of a man's mouth comes what's in his heart. Or I'm very, very much paraphrasing because I'm not that good. My husband, he's more the walking Bible. But, you know, it's what's in a man's heart that will come out, that flows out, right? And what we speak is what's in our heart, is the gist of what the scripture says. And the heart is interchangeable with the word spirit. So in the Bible, the Hebrews would say they would be translated heart, but it also means spirit. They were interchangeable. So out of your spirit flows what comes out of your mouth. It's out of your spirit. What's in your spirit? Is your spirit dry? Is it dying? Have you been feeding your spirit? We make sure to go seek inner healing for our souls. We want to heal from traumas and we want to be whole in our spirit. And we look and seek health for our bodies and we go to the gym and we eat healthy foods and we go on diets. But what about our spirits? Do you ever stop to think and to feed your spirit? Is my spirit being nourished? Is my spirit being fed? We go and sit in church. We're going to listen to a preaching and my spirit will get fed. Not always. Your spirit's not always getting fed. I've been in sermons that sound great to my ears and great to my soul, but my spirit is still dying inside and is not getting fed. I've also been sitting in sermons where my brain is confused and doesn't understand. It can't quite grasp what's being preached, but my spirit is leaping within me and is just thriving, and I can feel it just absorbing what's being preached, and it's being fed, and I can just feel it, but my brain is not good. And see, that's that battle between the soul and the spirit. My spirit is saying, yes, yes, yes. And my brain saying, I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm struggling here. And that's where you have to separate soul and spirit. The word of God will divide your soul and your spirit. The soul may not understand, but the spirit knows, and the spirit bears witness, and your spirit is getting fed and getting nourished. And our souls need to learn to trust God and trust our spirits and let the spirit lead sometimes. We need to have a mind shift there. So our life is hidden in Christ. We live from in Him. In Him, He infuses us with Himself, with knowledge, with wisdom, with love. We must live from the place of infusion, that place of connection where He pours into us, right? We need to live from the revelatory realms of heaven. We live from that reality, from that perspective, from that place. That is the place that's true and real. That is more true and more real. The heavenly realities are more real than earthly realities. So Colossians 3, 2 and 3. Let's go to Colossians. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. So let's find Colossians. We want to set our minds on things above. So let me, as I'm flipping to it to find the wording in the New King James, but it says to set your minds on things above. Now that things above is actually more accurately translated as heavenly realities. And it is in some translations. Set your minds on the heavenly realities. These things are real, right? These things are actual truth. We worship in spirit and in truth. Well, what truth? The law of the word? What the word says is part of the truth. The word of God, the scriptures, is a doorway into the deeper realms of God. The scriptures is a launching pad. The scriptures are living and will open up to entire realms of the spirit of God that you've never known before. God wants us to go into those deeper hidden meanings and treasures within His word. So, Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. We'll start with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which basically means seek the heavenly realms, seek the deeper realms of God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And scriptures say we're sitting next to Him up there. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are in Him. Our life, we have died. That human that you were has died. You're a new creation. You're a new creature. You are now hidden in Christ. Your true self, your true life is hidden within Christ, or with Christ in God.
So we are in Him, and we need to live from that place. Live from the reality of who you truly are. Live from the reality of that you are a spirit being that has a soul that lives in a body. You are not a soul that has a spirit that lives in a body. You're not a soul in a body that connects with a spirit. Your spirit's not flitting all around you, and you just connect into it once in a while. Our spirit is the center. Our spirit is who we are. It's our spirit that connects with God's spirit. God's spirit knows His heart. Our spirit knows our heart. Heart is spirit. Spirit is heart. So we need to set our mind on things above. Set your mind on heavenly realities, not on the things of the earth, because you died and your life is hidden away in Christ. You are discovering your true selves with Christ in God. So we need to be in that place. Our life is hidden in Christ. So we need to live from in Him, to discover who we really are, to find ourselves. We need to untether from the things of the world that has shaped our thoughts, that have shaped our view of ourselves, that has shaped how we interpret situations, how we interpret relationships with people. And we need to discover who we really are, find our real selves in Christ, in the presence of God. And we live from that place, and that identity, our true identity, is in Him. In Him. Oh, where did I go? So heaven realities. Set your mind on heavenly realities. We need to untether from our thoughts, renew our minds, and think on things above. We must renew our minds. The only way to truly renew your mind, to transform yourself, is to untether from old mindsets, to untether from the things of the world. So the heavenly realities that we set our minds on, those are the things, the revelations and the things God reveals to us in that secret place. These are the things He shows us, the mysteries of the kingdom. These are the things that are true, that are more truer than true. We can see situations and things, if you look from your soul or from a worldly perspective, it looks completely different than from this perspective of your spirit in Christ. When you're going from your true self, from your true place, from the eyes of heaven, that is truth. That is truth. So we don't want to filter things through our soul. We want to filter things through the spirit. We let the spirit reveal heavenly realities to us. We let the spirit reveal truth to us. That's why we worship in spirit and truth. There's nothing about the soul in there, right? So that is the righteous real. Everything in the heavens is true and real. And then the enemy tries to copy it down on the earth. So for every bad thing out there, for everything the enemy tries to do, he's not a creator, he's a copycat. So whatever he does, that means there is a righteous real in the heavenly realms that God intended and God created, and the enemy took it, copied it, and twisted it. So when I see the enemy doing something, when I see something going on, people say, oh, new age, oh, this, oh, that, right? Like, oh, no, psychics are bad, right? Yes, they are, but, well, the people themselves are not. They need Jesus. They just don't know it, right? But they're seeking something. They found it in the wrong avenue. It's a twisted version of prophecy and wisdom and knowledge and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophetic words. The enemy took it and twisted it and created psychics. And so for every counterfeit, there is a righteous real. So many times in the world, we've just been so used to the counterfeits that we've completely discounted there is a righteous, real version out there that God created, because the enemy didn't create any of those things. So if he does it, there's a real, true version of it. So we need to untether from mindsets. We need to untether from all these things. Romans 12:12. Let's go to Romans. Romans 12:12. Romans, where are you, Romans? I know it's New Testament. I went too far. I know it's here. I'm so close. I can feel it. I'm kind of like, you know, they say stereotypically how they say that guys just don't ask for directions. Well, a lot of times I'm like the guy when it comes to, like, scriptures. Like, I'm not going to go look at my table of contents. I'm not asking for directions. I'm just going to flip. I don't know why. There it is. It's like, I don't know why. I usually always can find Romans easy. I don't know why it's so hard this time. Okay. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God is found in God. The will of God is held in his heart, and we have access to the heart of God in the secret place and through our spirits. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We are transformed when our minds are renewed. So we need to untether from mindsets. We need to untether from these worldly mindsets and unholy mindsets and mindsets that were not given by the Lord, that are not filtered through our spirit, but filtered through our soul. Because it's these mindsets that keep us from the Lord. God wants to show us heavenly realities. He wants to show us the depths of him, show us great and mighty things. He wants to give us understanding, but we must untether from the world and worldly mindsets in order to go deeper. We must allow him and trust him to take us deeper. We have to allow him to. He's not just going to force us. He's not just going to come and give you some crazy experience that you're not ready for. He's not going to give you some crazy encounter with an angel or with Jesus that you're not ready for. You know, if you're desiring encounters with the Lord, if you're desiring an encounter with Jesus, if you're desiring angelic encounters and the things of God, I want to experience all there is of God, but he can't just give it to me all at once. Because I have untethering to do. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at, is I'm still untethering from things and untethering from mindsets. You know, let's see, where did my notes go? I know I'm missing something. But anyway, so years ago, God took me through a season. He was pulling me out of, you know, the conservative Christian beliefs and into a more spirit-filled Christian beliefs. He was revealing the Holy Spirit to me and revealing the supernatural side of him, that there was more. The word is important. I love the Baptists for the fact that they are so, they have so much emphasis on the word and learning the word and knowing the word and hiding the word in your heart. And it is so important. Discipleship. Evangelism. It's so important. These things are important. We need the foundation of the word, but we don't just stay there. There is more to God. He wants to take us deeper in his word to the different depths, as the Hebrews teach, or the Jewish teach, is that each word of God is like a diamond of 70 facets. It has, 70 meanings and 60,000 interpretations or something is what they teach. So there is a vast amount of depths and facets of the word of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you. We don't even come into salvation except the Holy Spirit reveals. We come to God through Jesus by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. It takes all three. And when you don't have an understanding, a true understanding of the Holy Spirit, when you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it makes it hard to go into these deeper depths of God, because it's the Holy Spirit that brings the revelation and opens our eyes and opens our minds to understand these things. And so I was in the conservative church background, and to me, the Holy Spirit was just like your conscience, right? It's just this little tiny feeling that would tell you, oh, this is wrong, this is right. And that was really about it that I knew of the Holy Spirit. And God took me through this whole season, and it was really hard because I didn't ever want to get off. I didn't ever want to get deceived. So the whole time, is this in the Word? Is this in the Word? And I ended up at this church my parents had started going to, Assemblies of God Church. And so I went in there and started learning about the Holy Spirit. And even just the fact that you could feel the presence of God, that there's a presence of God, and you can feel it and you can experience it. And there was a whole spiritual realm. There were angels, there were demons. There's a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers you. You can overcome things in life. You don't have to be stuck the way you are. You can change, you can grow, you can be transformed. You know, all these things. And then I learned about inner healing, and I learned about spiritual warfare, and I learned so much. But the process of going from the conservative church into the spirit-filled church was rough, because it was bringing me, it was blowing my theology. It was shaking up what I knew. It was breaking mindsets, and that's not easy to do. I had to untether from some things. I had to untether from some mindsets. I had to just, and it's in these places where God is breaking us out of our mindsets and breaking us out of our theologies. You know, that there is no, your soul cannot lead. Your spirit has to lead. You have to trust God that He is leading you in the right direction, and that you are understanding correctly, because there is no, there really is no reasoning. There's no way to reason and use logic to understand your way into a spirit-filled Christian life, you know, if that makes sense. So it really, it came to this point, I had to just trust God and let my mind be blown and just trust and seek in the Word. And then as I trusted Him and allowed the Holy Spirit to speak, I saw scriptures in ways I never had, and suddenly these light bulbs were going off and things were clicking, and scriptures I had just run over and just read over and didn't even think twice about suddenly had new meaning. I was like, that's what that means. Oh my goodness. I see it, right? It's like my eyes were opened, but there was that struggle to untether from some of those mindsets and some of those things I had been taught. So, and then there's been another season of that again. You think, okay, well, I'm spirit-filled. I've arrived. No, I have not. Because there's deeper things to that. So I had somewhere in my notes here, I wanted to read it the way I had it written. I think I have it farther back. I had, where did it go? I guess I'm not supposed to find. Oh, there it is. So I went from the conservative Christian faith and untethered from that into a spirit-filled Christian faith where God did many amazing things. And now He's been bringing me from that spirit-filled Christian faith, and I've had to untether from some things there, and He's been leading me into the mysteries of God. So you'll go from just a basic biblical foundation, and God will bring you into a spirit-filled foundation, right? He'll build on that foundation, and He'll add the Spirit to it and the Holy Spirit, and you can go, and He'll take you on a journey into the spirit-filled side of God and the supernatural side. And then from there, He takes you into the mysteries. It goes even deeper. And to go deeper in the mysteries of God and into the revelations of God, we do that in the secret place, but God is trying to bring His people deeper now. He's taking us deeper into beyond just the supernatural, into the mysteries. The mysteries of God. That's all over the Bible. It talks about mysteries. Mysterion. That's the word mysterion. So God says in Jeremiah 33:3, ask, call out to Me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Great and mighty things that you do not know. So, He shows us great and mighty things we do not know. So if He will show us these great and mighty things that we don't know, why then do we expect those things to fit into the parameters of what we do know? We try to filter these things the Holy Spirit wants to reveal us through things we already know. But if he's showing us great and mighty things we know not of, as the scripture says, that we know not of, these are things beyond our human understanding. These things are beyond, these are spiritual experiences. These are heavenly realities. These are encounters with the Lord. And it's been in scripture where people had encounters with God that could not be put into words. There was no way to describe them because it's beyond our understanding. It's beyond the parameters of what we know. And it's an experience. It's not something your soul is going to make sense, be able to make sense of and understand, though our soul wants to. So it takes some untethering to be able to go to these depths where God wants to take us, so he can show us the great and mighty things that we know not of. And that word know, when it says to show us great and mighty things we know not of, that word know is an intimate knowledge, an experiential knowledge. It's not head knowledge. Head knowledge, as we know it, wasn't even a definition of the word know in the Bible. The word know in the Bible is that experiential, intimate knowledge. So that's what it's talking about. That has nothing to do with head knowledge or our brains, which is what's connected to our souls. It's talking about your spirit. It's talking about your spirit experiencing the depths of God, experiencing the mysteries and the encounters. And we have to untether from some things in order to go to these places the Lord wants to take us. In order to walk into the fullness of God, the fullness of his spirit, the fullness of all that he has for you, the fullness of the depths of his love and his heart, we must untether from mindsets and opinions and experiences. We cannot filter our encounters through our human knowledge, because it's just two different things. So how do we do this? How do we go deeper? How do we untether from these things? Well, we need to let our spirit lead and not our soul. Our spirit needs to lead and not our soul. So the word of God says, Hebrews 4:12, let's go there. Let's find Hebrews 4:12. Oops, went a little too far here. Oh, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is the discerner. The word of God, and this wouldn't just be written words, but the spoken word, right? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. So soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's a pretty definite split there, right? So splitting soul and spirit, dividing soul and spirit. See, the way we've been raised, so God's word, let me see what I have on here. So the word separates our soul and our spirit. It will untether us. It's the word of God that will untether us from the world, untether us from religion, from mindsets, and from our soul. So this is, now we're getting into stuff that's really hard to try to explain. This is some of those things you experience and you get that infused understanding from the Lord, and it's hard to put in words because these are heavenly realities and mysteries that I'm trying to explain here with human words, which is very limited, right? Our human language is limited. So we are a spirit. You are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. But yet our natural tendency is to not view it that way. But we need to let our spirits take the lead. Our soul needs to let the spirit lead. Our soul tends to want to lead. Our soul tends to want to be the one in charge. Our soul tries to lead. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our intellect. So our soul tries to make sense of everything. Our soul tries to understand everything. Our soul takes all our experiences, everything we go through, everything we see and hear, and it filters it. And it tries to rationalize it and make sense of it for us. But the things of the spirit are completely different, and they cannot be rationalized by our brains and our souls. That's where our spirit comes in. And so our spirit is life. Our spirit is who we are. When God breathed that spark of life into us, that was our spirit. Our spirit is what goes to heaven. Our spirit's what goes back to the Lord when we die. You know, we will have a resurrected body. We will still have a soul. We will still be a triune being. We will have spirit, soul, and body. Our souls are what needs saved, not our spirits. That's a whole different teaching in itself. But it's our souls. God saves our soul. So our soul is what we deal with in inner healing. Our soul is what holds the trauma and tries to protect us from trauma and tries to bring understanding to that. It's our emotions. Now, if you let your emotions lead, that's not a good thing either. You know, we can't live in the place of emotions. We can't live in the place of human mindsets, you know, and we can't live in the place of our human will. We have that free will. Our spirit needs to lead. Now, when our spirit makes the decisions, it's much better. Our spirit knows God's spirit. There's that scripture, which I wish I'd looked up now. I've talked about it before, but it says, who can know the heart of a man better than the spirit of a man? And who knows the heart of God better than the spirit of God? And the spirit of God speaks spirit to spirit to us. So why do we not let our spirit lead? Why do we filter everything we experience in life, every decision we make, through our souls instead of our spirits? Why do it comes more naturally? It's that human nature, but our soul tends to want to be in charge. It wants to cover. It wants to lead. It wants to govern us, but we need to let our spirits. And it is hard for our souls to let go of that because our soul wants to make sense of things. It wants to rationalize. It wants to understand. And you can't always understand God. Like who? I think it was T.D. Jakes, or it might have been someone else that said, God talks crazy talk. Because it's the spirit of God speaking to our spirits. It's the spirit of God. It's not going to always make sense to our minds. We're not always going to be able to understand it, but we need to say, yes, Lord, and go when he says go and do what he says to do, even when it makes no sense. That's why we always talk about walking by faith. We do it even when we don't see it. We do it when we don't understand. We just are obedient to the Lord. And it's because, and that is part of letting your spirit lead. Your soul's going to fight you on it. Whenever the Lord has taken me from that conservative Christianity into a spirit-filled life, my soul was not happy. It was my soul that was struggling. It was my soul that was having a hard time with it. But when I finally was able to untether and separate and let my spirit lead and just trust that God knew what he was doing and trust that this was okay, then God opened a whole new world to me and I became empowered by the Holy Spirit. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I received speaking in tongues. I learned how to overcome in life. I learned intercessory prayer. I learned so many different things and ways, and that understanding of, you know, and slowly my brain got some understanding. You know, you don't always understand, but we trust God and we let our spirits lead. So that's kind of your soul and your spirit. And then we have our body. So the way we tend to look at things, I wrote this out, the way we tend to live our lives and look at things is that we look at our soul as the center, or we kind of lump our soul and our spirit together in one because they're similar. So we look at our soul is inside of us. Our soul's the main thing. It's who we are. We tend to think that way. We think our soul is who we are, our mind, will, and our emotions. It makes up who we are and the person that we are. And then our spirit and our soul is inside our body, right? Our body is part of our soul. It's who we are as well. I'm blonde. I have blue eyes. I'm a girl. You know, we find our identities in all these things. And then our spirit's just kind of there somewhere. It's like this vapor, or it's flitting around outside of us. It's attached to our soul, right? It's just there. It just kind of warns us if we're doing something wrong or which way we should go, or gives us some discernment. And this is kind of how we think of things. And that is completely wrong. That is completely out of balance. The way we need to live, the way we need to see things and view ourselves is that we are a spirit. Your spirit is the main thing. Your spirit is who you are. That is the life God breathed into you. That is what goes back to the Father. When we breathe our last breath here on earth, you breathe out and you go back to the Father. It is your spirit. That is what He created. That is who you are. Our soul needs to just be attached to our spirit. Our spirit is leading. Our spirit needs to be how we filter things and explains things, right? Our identity needs to come from our spirit. We need to interpret everything through our spirit, not our soul. So your spirit's the main. Spirit's who you are. The spirit's how you interpret things. Your soul is attached to your spirit, your mind, will, and your emotions. And your mind, will, and emotions are governed and led by your spirit. So our soul's attached to the spirit. Our soul is allowing the spirit to lead. And our soul is coming along, right? That's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our mind, will, and our emotions should be governed by our spirits. Because it's our spirits that know the heart of God. Because who knows God's heart better than the spirit? And the spirit speaks to our spirit. So we filter everything we experience through and see through our souls, and that's not how it should be. So our body, in the proper alignment, so we had our spirits who we are, our souls attached to our spirit. Our spirit governs our mind, will, and emotions. And then our body is the temple. It's the house, the dwelling place of God. It's so we are a spirit that has a soul attached to it that lives in a body. All three parts are important. We have three parts. God has three parts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all as valuable and all as important as the other. And our body, soul, and our spirits are all important and valuable. And we need to nourish and feed all three and take care of all three. But we need to get them in proper alignment. So we need to stop filtering everything we experience and see through our souls. Our soul is not our filter. Our identity does not come from the world around us, filtered through our soul. Our identity does not come from the world around us that we filter through our soul. We are supposed to interpret everything through the spirit. Our spirit needs to overshadow us. Our spirit needs to cover us, not our souls. What is your covering? If you kind of look at it that way, like an umbrella, like a covering. What is leading? What is covering? What is overshadowing you? Is it your soul or your spirit? Because our spirits need to be, but you need to split and divide the soul and spirit and put them in their proper order in order to do that. So we need to surrender our desire to know and figure things out and understand, because that's our soul. And our soul tends to want to know, to figure it out, to understand it. Things in life, things in the secret place. God can reveal mysteries to you. But if your soul is in the way, it's going to try to understand. It's going to try to figure it out. And our soul can't always go everywhere God wants to take us in the spirit. He's taking our spirits. Our soul can come along, and our soul needs to trust the spirit and give up the right to figure out and understand everything. You're just not going to understand it all. You need to learn how to understand and receive by your spirit, not by your soul and your thinking. You know, we get in our own way so many times. There's people that want, like if you're one of those that you're like, I want to speak in tongues, or I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I've been seeking it and it's not coming. Well, it could possibly be because God needs to help you untether your soul and your spirit. You need to untether from some mindsets. You need to let your spirit lead, and your soul needs to give up the right to understand and figure it out. Because it's not something you can figure out and understand. It's not like step one, step two, step three, and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Your brain is not going to understand. Your soul is not going to be able to figure it out. And it needs to be okay with that. So you need to surrender that desire to know and figure it out and understand it. You may not understand speaking in tongues. You may not understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But your spirit just needs to experience it. And it's okay to not understand it and to just experience it. And that's where we get hung up on a lot of things, trying to figure it out. And we can't always. And part of it sometimes is a fear of, I don't want to get off. I don't want to be deceived. I want to make sure this is in the Word. Well, your spirit bears witness, right? Your spirit is what gives you discernment. Like when it comes to prophecy, the Word says, you know, to discern the spirits, to test the spirits. It's your spirit that gives you that discernment. This is off, this is not. So stop letting your soul get in the way and get you worried, and let your spirit experience it and trust your spirit. Your spirit is going to let you know if something's wrong and off. You know, if there's so many times, you know, you can be in a room, you could go be somewhere, you could be around someone that's very demonized or has a lot of demonic spirits with them, or you can go somewhere a lot of demonic activity happens and walk in the room, your spirit will get irritated, right? So why do we not trust that when we're trying to experience the things of God? I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but your soul's in the way because your soul's worried that you're going to get off and wants to understand it first. But we need to trust that our spirits will be irritated if it's not really God, just like when you walk in a room where there's been a lot of demonic activity and your spirit gets irritated. We need to trust our spirits. Our spirit, your spirit will let you know. You know, and it's, and to me, it's that point. That's where my struggle always was. And it was finally getting to that realization of the difference in my soul and my mindsets being upset, and my actual spirit warning me. There's a difference. And many times with me, as God's tried to untether me and bring me deeper into the things of His Spirit, that's what my fight and struggle has been. And then realizing this is my soul wanting to control. These are my mindsets getting upset because it doesn't line up. This is not my spirit setting off those red flags of warning inside. It's my spirit that's giving me a desire for it, a curiosity. Like, so the first time I heard people speaking in tongues, the first time I heard my mother speak in tongues, you know, I'd been taught my whole life it was wrong. This was a mindset I had to untether from. So the first time I heard it and was in a church where this was happening, I was uncomfortable. I was irritated. I was weirded out, but that was my soul. And that was the mindsets that had been implanted in me. Because at the same time, my spirit was also drawn to it. I felt drawn to it, but I was upset by it. And I was uncomfortable, but I was drawn. Because deep inside, I didn't know that's what it was at that time, because I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit. But it was the Holy Spirit inside of me that was saying, yes, 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 this is it. This is what I've been looking for. Yes. While my brain, my soul, and my mindsets were saying, I don't know about this. This is weird. Right? So there's a difference, and it's learning to differentiate between your spirit giving you a warning and your soul being uncomfortable because it doesn't want to trust and let your spirit lead. So we need to trust God, whether it makes sense or not. Surrender our desire to know and figure things out. It's as simple as that. Do we trust our spirits? Do we trust our own spirits? Do we trust God with our spirits? We need to put our spirit, soul, and body into that proper order and alignment. Our spirits will function in the heavenly realms. Our soul, which is connected to our spirit, learns to trust without the need to understand or control what we are doing. That's what we need to get to. That's where we need to get to. What else do I have? So we need to allow our souls, or we actually right now, we tend to allow our souls to cover us, to overshadow us. and which means it's leading, it's in control, but we need to allow our spirits to cover and overshadow us and our souls to attach to our spirits and trust. So let your spirit rule, not your soul. So that is our talk today. And I hope this has challenged you and opened your mind to some things, gave you some things to think about. And you can pray and ask God to help you to see the difference in your soul being irritated because it just wants to figure it out, or your spirit giving you a warning. You can look back on different situations and be able to see and tell the difference. There's a difference there. But we need to get to the place where we divide soul and spirit and put them in proper alignment. We got to stop centering everything around our souls and letting our souls be in charge and having to understand everything, which for some people is harder to break from that than others, because that is how God made you. God made you analytical. God made you to figure things out and to understand, because he made you to be a teacher or a preacher or just, you know, he made you organized. He made you that way, and that's fine, but you can't be that way in everything. So that's where we get out of balance, letting the souls lead. So we need to learn to walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit and be in the Spirit. You can be in the Spirit and function on earth at the same time. And part of doing that is letting your spirit lead, letting your spirit interpret everything. You know, I made these pictures, and of course you can't see them, but we have like the circle, which is our soul in the middle there. And then we have our spirit. I have this other circle attached to it. So our spirit's attached to our soul, and we put our souls in the center, and then it's all inside our body. But it's backwards. The spirit needs to be the center, because that's who we are. Our soul is attached to our spirit, letting it lead, not needing to understand and figure everything out. There are times your soul does need to figure things out. Your spirit will lead, and your spirit will give your soul space to do that in its proper order and proper alignment and its proper function. But when we let the soul lead, it is not functioning properly. We are out of alignment and out of balance. So we have our soul, our spirit in the middle, our soul is attached to it, and we're inside our body. Or the other way to look at it is like an umbrella over you. Are you letting your, you have your body, and within your body is our soul. You know, we have our body and our soul, and the umbrella over you, what's covering you, overshadowing you, leading you, is your spirit. But how many times do we let our soul out there and keep our spirit in and confined? So when we can get our beings into proper alignment, God can do amazing things. God can take you deeper than you ever thought possible. God can give you understanding more than you ever thought possible. You can understand things that you didn't know how you learned it. You can have wisdom and knowledge and just all these things, revelations, blueprints, things that you never know how it even got there, because your spirit is allowed to receive what the Lord has for it, and your soul is not getting in the way trying to figure it out and only letting certain things through, because I understand this, but I don't understand that. So we're just going to block that completely off. We can't do that. We can't hinder God. We can't hinder the things of God anymore, because God wants to take us from the supernatural realms of the spirit into the mysteries of the kingdom. So God has shown his church his power. He has shown his church the supernatural side. He has shown his church that he heals, that he delivers, that he brings peace, that he frees, that he restores. But he is taking us deeper now, and he wants to show his people the hidden mysteries and the depths of his love and who he is and the kingdom. And that can only be done when we allow our spirits to lead and we get ourselves in proper alignment and get our souls out of the way so that they stop hindering us from the fullness of God. So I love you guys. I am just thankful for you. I hope you learned something. That's all my desire is, because I'm one that God has had to pull out of these mindsets and pull out of these ways of thinking and these ways of looking at things and just believing everything I was taught because I was told it.
you know, and seeking for myself and seeking the Lord and having a relationship with him. But I'm one that he's had to pull out of that. I was the one saying, I don't want to get off. I got to make sure it lines up with the word. I have to make sure this is right. And I don't want to be deceived. It says in the end, even the elect will be deceived. I don't want to be one of those people, you know, and because I hold fast to what I know and to what I believe. And so when God shakes that up, it's really hard. So being one that's been the Baptist and been that conservative Christian to being pulled by the Spirit and had some of that broken off of me, those mindsets and those things, and being brought into the revelation and the realization that there's a whole supernatural side to God and that he empowers us to walk our lives. He empowers us to live how we want to live and need to live and to overcome the things in our lives. We are not stuck. We are not victims. We have overcome and we can live victoriously. So to get to that place, the struggle I had to go through, I understand, and I have such a desire to bring people to that understanding as well, because I've been there and I know it. And so my desire, as God has opened a deeper depths of this to me, that there is not just a supernatural realm of God, but the realm of the mysteries of God. There's a deeper realm. There's a deeper place God is taking his people to now. He's taking us deeper than just the prophetic word. He's taking us deeper than just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's taking us deeper than feeling the presence in worship and then healings. All those things are good. All those things are needed. They are not going to end. They have reasons. They have purposes. But God is taking us even deeper and expanding on that. And in order to go where God wants to take his people, we have to untether from the world and untether from these mindsets and get our soul and our spirit in proper alignment so that our spirit can lead us into the deeper depths of the Lord and the revelation of the realms of the mysteries of God. Because there's so much more he has for us. So much more. We are supposed to do even greater works than Jesus did, but our souls are in the way and we can't even grasp the things that Jesus did and have the understanding and faith that they still happen today. So how are we going to do greater things than Jesus if we can't even wrap our heads around what Jesus did? And we don't even see that happening in the world today. It's because we need to divide the soul and the spirit and let our spirits lead us and our souls to give up the need to figure it all out. Because God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And our souls are not going to be able to figure it out. We just need to trust our spirits and trust God and go where he's taking us. Because he is a good God that wants good for us. So I love you all. I will talk to you later. I hope you enjoyed this podcast and share it with any friends you think might benefit from it. As we go after the deeper things of God, we are not satisfied with the surface pollen. We want the deep, yummy nectar of the word. So I will talk to you guys next time. I'll be doing this once a month. Eventually, I'll get to where it's like a certain day each month, like the second Monday of the month, or I'm not sure what it will be yet, but I do plan on doing these monthly. So I will see you guys again next month, and have a good day, and I love you all.